Breakfast of Ben's podcast. Tim Benz here. Glad that you're with us as we roll on here on a Wednesday. Pleased to be joined right now by Jay Retcher from WDAE Radio down in Tampa, 95.3. He's the midday host there. We plan to have Jay on to talk about the prospect of Byron Leftwich potentially becoming the offensive coordinator of the Steelers, the former Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback, offensive coordinator in Tampa, apparently on the verge of being fired as the OC with the Buccaneers. That report's been out there for, 48 hours now since the game ended to finish the season for the Bucs against the Dallas Cowboys in the first round of the playoffs. But word coming out today that Matt Canada is staying on as the offensive coordinator for the Steelers. A Steelers spokesperson confirming that report. So with that being said, I guess I'll approach it from this angle then, Jay. When it comes to Leftwich and his job status, what were you hearing from a Tampa perspective on any of this? Did you get the sense that the Steelers were waiting if Leftwich was to be let go? Was there any fire to the smoke at all? And where do things stand now down there?
I didn't hear it so much as far as down here, Tim, and thanks for having me as always, brother. I do it because I follow your stuff and I follow some stuff with Pittsburgh. And I was trying to put two and two together and wondering, and you know, being at these press conferences and hearing Byron Leftwich, and it was just, listen, I know Matt Canada is kind of like one of those guys where even like Byron Leftwich down here, where every week it's a question, right? You're running the football, are they getting the ball in the right receiver's hands? Are they putting the quarterback in a position to succeed? I think with certain teams, you're just going to have that question every week. I don't know. I don't think it would have been an upgrade if it would have been Byron Leftwich, because man, he has had an unbelievably tough year. The report came out literally the minute after the whistle sounded down here in Tampa from our buddy Scott Reynolds at Pewter Report, saying that Byron Leftwich is expected to be fired by the organization. I had him on my show yesterday, and Scott doubled down and said, yeah, it hasn't happened yet, but it will happen. Just the offense. I mean, you're looking with the Buccaneers the last couple of years averaging 30 points a game, and now this year grinding to a halt of 18 points a game with Tom Brady and Chris Godwin and Mike Evans, and you got Fournette and Rashad White in the backfield. It's like, holy smokes. And how crazy is it, man? In just 12 months, Byron Leftwich went from a hot, hot head coach candidate, looked like he was bound to head to Jacksonville to be the leading man there for the Jaguars. He ends up staying with the Buccaneers. And now look, it looks like he's probably on his way out. And Jacksonville's still in the playoffs with Doug Peterson. It's wild, man. Just 1 year later, how things have changed for Byron Leftwich.
Yeah, I was going to get to some of that. And to your point that you just made there, so as far as where things stand with him and the Bucs at this point, it still looks like it's going to happen and nothing's been finalized yet?
Yeah, which it's a waiting game, man. And that's, you know, the guy that said that came out the report and hasn't really been confirmed. There was another report coming out saying that the Buccaneers haven't made a decision yet, but this is a guy that's been covering the team for about 20 years now, and he's doubling and tripling down that it's going to happen, not if, but when it's going to happen. So it's kind of a waiting game, and it's wild. You know, Todd Bowles takes over in March from Bruce Arians, who just unexpectedly retires, and Todd Bowles is coaching the entire season with what, in essence, was Bruce Arians' coaching staff. So with how the season was, even though the Buccaneers did win the division title, 8-9, and then losing to Dallas in an embarrassing fashion, you'd have to think that, you know, Todd Bowles is definitely going to get, it looks like, another year here. But if you're going to go down, you got to think, if you're Todd, you're saying, I'm going to go down with the guys that I brought on rather than Bruce's guys.
Did Leftwich take a lot of the blame because people don't want to or just aren't conditioned to blame Brady?
I think it was a combination. I think it's a great question. From your perspective on, you know, because we do get that a little bit here in Tampa, is you guys don't want to hold Brady accountable. Well, if you tune in every day at noon, I'm definitely holding Brady's feet to the fire too. Listen, it's not taking anything away from the guy. He's the best quarterback of all time. I get that. But at times when he did have time to throw behind an offensive line that, had injuries. You lose Ryan Jensen for the entire season. He makes his debut in the playoffs. Did a decent job, but, you know, it was – no consistent offensive line play this year. But when he did get that, he still didn't make every throw. So Brady wasn't devoid of blame. Neither was Todd Bowles. Neither was the offensive line. Some of the receivers didn't play up to their potential. But Byron, the thing that really rubbed a lot of people the wrong way was Byron and his press conferences. And I don't know if this made it up to you guys, but it was almost like a snarky type of looking down his nose type attitude. And from all the conversations that I've had with Byron, everything's been great. He's been on the up and up, super friendly guy. But I think a lot of these questions really got to him, where he would make comments, this isn't fantasy football. And, you know, our offense, you know, statistically, he says this later on in the season, oh, it was pretty, you know, it's been good. Well, I don't think so, Byron. If you go from 30 points last year and 18 points this year per game, it's not about being a quote-unquote fantasy football manager. It's kind of reading the stats and just watching football and noticing that this offense wasn't firing on all cylinders like it was the last two seasons.
Jay Retcher with us. You can listen to him, WDAE in Tampa, middays there. Okay, so I want to follow up on that. Looking at what the offense was in Tampa, because it's got a lot of conversation here as to what the Steelers may be interested in and how they might be leaning to try to make their offense better if there was any connection to Leftwich in the first place. The reports we keep hearing and the sort of scouting report, the understanding that the outside seems to have on Tampa was, especially knowing Arians a little bit here in Pittsburgh, that it's all about just coming up with schemes and game plans where the quarterback is better, the receivers are better. When Gronk was there, the tight end was better, the line was good, the line is better. Our guys are going to beat your guys, and the patterns are going to get themselves open because of superior athleticism. Is that the case, or was there more scheming to that than it's given credit for?
No, I think you nailed it. To me, the offense really didn't change the last couple of years, in my opinion. Just watch. I mean, hell, I was there for the last three games where the Buccaneers played their final game, whether it was the Super Bowl, the crazy loss last year to the Rams, and then the loss just the other night against Dallas. And the offense was, you know, very similar. You know, the short throws to Godwin, the deep throw to Mike Evans down the sideline, which you didn't see as much this year because Brady didn't have so much time. But I mean, listen, in years past, when you got Rob Gronkowski, who, you know, for all of the benefits you get from the from him in the passing game, he's a damn good blocker, too. So your offensive line play is going to get better. But then, yeah, he's the ultimate safety net on third downs in the red zone. And then you get Antonio Brown, and you guys know from up there, I mean, the headaches, you know, that side of it. But also, I mean, he was one of the most talented receivers that we've ever seen. I mean, he's a matchup nightmare. You play him in the slot, you play him outside. He had great hands. He was just a guy that could do it all. And even if you didn't draw up the greatest play and you didn't have the greatest scheme, I mean, my goodness, you had two matchup nightmares. And then, oh, yeah, you had Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. Just add on top of that. You got stellar play from Donovan Smith, who had his worst year. And when you have your worst offensive lineman be your left tackle, that's not going to help with a 45, 46-year-old quarterback. Tristan Wirfs, he had an unbelievable rookie season that Super Bowl year. Everything worked out so well for them, they didn't really change much. And I think this would have been the classic case of be careful what you wish for. You guys would have got rid of Canada, you would have got Byron in there, and then you would have said, you would have been rubbing your hands, and then you turn the tape on, and then you see week one Kenny Pickett, and you don't see any kind of imagination. Listen, you get Byron Leftwich in Pittsburgh, Tim, you're not getting an Andy Reid, you're not getting a Shanahan or a McVay, you're not getting an incredibly creative offense. You're getting a guy that says, I'm going to line them up just like you said. I'm going to line up my guys against your guys, and we're going to try to beat you guys. And with the Pittsburgh offense building around the guys that you have there with Harris and Pickens and guys like that, I mean, are you going to be better than a lot of the guys in your division, in the conference, and in the NFL? I don't think right now. So I don't think it would have been a good fit at all. I think you guys got away with one. Maybe, you know, Canada may not be the option moving forward, but I'm sure as heck know that Byron probably wouldn't have been there.
I get the same sense, to be honest with you. I was thinking the same way. I think I was so down on Canada that, you know, any other port in a storm, kind of. And, you know, mm-hmm. To your point, yeah. I think a lot of people liked Byron while he was here. But the more I thought about it, the more I thought about the Arians tree, the more I knew that Bruce had AB here and Lev and Ben Roethlisberger and, at the time, a good offensive line. And, you know, it just struck me that if they're going to try to have that approach with a second-year quarterback who is far from Roethlisberger and Brady at this point, and only two good wide receivers and a decent running back and a tight end who sometimes is out, sometimes is available, like, you know, it just didn't add up to me.
No, you look at everybody that's still in there right now, right? Look at all the teams that are in the playoffs. And to me, I look at the two teams that, I mean, look at the talent on Jacksonville and with the Giants. And you're looking at who the Giants are lining up at wide receiver, and you're looking at Jacksonville, who's, you know, they're ahead of schedule as well. But look at the job Doug Peterson and Brian Daboll, and not just them, but their coaches, their coordinators, how they've coached up their players this season and how they put their players in a position to succeed and getting the most out of those guys. I mean, those are the guys that you can look at and you say, all right, well, San Francisco is another way. Shanahan, you know, one quarterback goes down, another quarterback goes down. Now Brock Purdy's looking like he's going to be a guy that might be leading his team to a Super Bowl. It's pretty wild. Not everybody is like that. Some guys are a little bit more of the veteran, old school type approach where they have the talent and they know how to kind of like massage the talent and put them in a position and kind of just stay out of the way. That's one type of you know, coaching. But if you're a team with a young quarterback, like you guys up there in Pittsburgh are with Kenny Pickett, and you're building, you see the building blocks, you get rid of Claypool and you kind of open the door for Pickens. And I think you got the running back and Najee Harris and some other good pieces there. You know, build on that offensive line, get back to playing the right way and, you know, giving that smash mouth Pittsburgh and get some creativity when it comes to offense. I think, you know, Pittsburgh will be right back in there before you know it. Mike Tomlin, we joke about it down here. We go, Mike Tomlin. I think we said it last week on the show. I said Mike Tomlin opens the season with a winning record. He's the only guy that does that. It's incredible, man. I mean, we admire it so much down here. And, of course, Mike got some Tampa ties as well. But we, you know, it's funny how there's an admiration for the Steelers down here in Tampa.
Yeah, and there's plenty of admiration for what Tomlin has done up here in Pittsburgh, too, with, you know, averaging 9.5 wins over the last 5 years, which means a winning record. But at the same time, over the last 6, no playoffs. And, you know, that's a record since the Immaculate Reception. So I think it's a matter of perspective. It's like, do you compare the Steelers against the rest of the league, or do you compare the Steelers against the standard he claims to hold high and what the Steelers have put out there? You know, they never bottom out. You know, they never have a losing record. But at the same time, if you look at 10 of the last 12 years without a playoff victory, that doesn't feel like they've maxed out on their success. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's the ultimate discussion, though, right? Would you want to be one of those teams where, you know, you miss the playoff for 4 years, but then you make a Super Bowl run and then you stink for another 4 years? Or you want to be, I almost go back to like the 90s with the Atlanta Braves. Do you just want to be there every single year to give yourself a chance? It's tough. You know, I can see it from both ways. I can see it from ways where sometimes it's better to almost bottom out, right? Bottom out, get a couple of high draft picks, you know, build through the draft and then see if you can go on a nice little run. But who knows, man? The way that the league is trending, especially we were talking about this with on our show, is the young quarterbacks. I mean, these quarterbacks and the way that the rules protect the quarterbacks. I mean, these guys, like, how long are we going to be watching Mahomes, Burrow, and Allen doing their thing? Yeah. I mean, it's going to be so important to get that young quarterback. And they're protecting these guys, and they're going to be playing. And Brady and Rodgers are setting the bar for these guys to play into their, forget mid-30s now. They're looking late 30s, you know, early 40s. So the game's changing, and you got to have that guy under center, or else you're probably, even if the rest of your team is good and competitive, you're going to be looking up and you're going to be chasing points year after year.
Final moments with Jay Retcher here from WDAE Radio down in Tampa. We'll end with this, Jay. What's going to happen with Brady, and how does the Leftwich thing factor in, if at all?
I don't think the Leftwich thing does factor in, because, like I said, Todd Bowles, I mean, I think Todd Bowles looks at this situation going, I have to kind of fend for myself, not worry so much about what Brady's going to do. You know, if Brady comes back for a year, Todd wants to coach longer than that. So he's not necessarily tied to Brady as much as, say, an Arians was. I think Byron's done too. I wouldn't be surprised if he picks up somewhere as an offensive analyst somewhere, maybe goes down to the college ranks, changes it up a little bit. There's still a part of me, Tim, and I know I might be in the minority with this, and I know the Dolphins have already said what they said. I am not in the camp that believes that Tom Brady's going to go out west. The whole thing with Giselle and the divorce thing really took a toll on him, and that was a big topic of conversation down here. And you don't really want to talk about a guy's personal life, but when you take 11 days off in the middle of training camp and you're a guy that says that every rep is a paramount, even if it's training camp or, you know, playoffs, that tells you a lot about how much that factored in to his life this year. Forget about football. I don't think he wants to go away from his son, Jack, who lives in New York, and now the rest of his kids with Giselle. I think he's going to stay on the East Coast. I think he stays in warm weather. I saw a report today saying maybe Carolina. I don't think that would work. I think it's either the Bucks or Miami. I really do. I don't think that if you're the Dolphins, you're very comfortable with Tua Tagovailoa and the concussion history. Brady's going to look at the defense down there going, man, they're a piece or two. Maybe you get Gronk to come back. He's got to love seeing Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle on each side of the field there. And you spent a lot of money on Teron Armstead to fortify the left tackle position. I think it's Bucks. I think it's Dolphins, Bucks, retirement, one of those three.
I mean, let's get to the retirement part of it. Is he still Tom Brady? Is there still enough of that left? Like, if he goes to Miami, does he do in Miami what he did in Tampa?
I think he can. I mean, this is a guy that threw for, what, 46, 47? He still was able to put a bunch of yards there. And the offense, Byron did him no favors. The offensive line really did him no favors this year. And he was still able to will this team to victories in games that they played like absolute dog crap for three quarters. And he was able to come back and win games against the Rams and games against the Saints to make this playoff run and to throw for over 400 yards in week 17 against the Carolina Panthers, three long touchdown passes to Tom Brady that shows, to Mike Evans, that shows his arm is still operating at a high level. I just think you need a coordinator with him if he's going to come back for that 1 year to kind of make his life a little easy. You see this sometimes, and even though teams know that Justin Jefferson's getting the ball or Tyreek Hill's getting the ball, they know that, and they're still wide open at times. There's a great way to scheme those guys open. Byron didn't do that this year. Every catch, every single touchdown was like super high degree of difficulty. If he goes to a place like Miami with McDaniel as the play caller, I think he, you know, experiences yet another kind of career resurgence. He gets guys like Hill and Waddle, and I think he would really enjoy that. The warm weather would be good for his body, and he stays on the East Coast close to his family. So I don't know. I don't know why not more people are talking about it, but I really think him to Miami, which could have happened a couple years ago, makes a lot of sense.
Jay, appreciate it. We'll catch up with the Frozen Four down in Tampa this year, all right?
Looking forward to it. Thanks, man. Always a pleasure.
Jay Retcher from WDAE Radio in Tampa.